The good people at Manscaped have partnered with us here at the Beautifully Designed Game podcast with an exclusive offer just for you as a thank you for tuning in. Visit uk.manscaped.com, enter promo code TFT20 for 20% off your order. Believe me, your balls will thank you.
Welcome to The Lob, your home of in-depth coverage and analysis by These Football Times, a movement of journalism you can trust. Each week, we endeavour to bring you the very best coverage of the game, exploring stories from the past and present with analysis by expert guests from around the world. Find more of our award-winning content online and in print. In the meantime, enjoy the podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Beautifully Designed Game podcast brought to you alongside These Football Times. My name is Marcus Marrett, and today I am super happy to be talking to a gentleman who is not only such a bundle of energy when you talk to him, you yourself just smile. He's one of those kind of a guys. He's so talented, and we are checking in with him for the second time on the podcast, as he is now really making waves himself as a self-employed creative. There is nothing more for me to say other than hello, Mark.
How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
No, not at all. Mark, can you please introduce yourself and let people know where they can find you and your work online?
My name's Mark Johnson. On the socials, Mark Johnson Design. Instagram is my main channel that I use. It's like a scrapbook. I keep posting different snippets of different work, but then use Twitter as much as I can as well. But yeah, my website's www.markjohnsondesign.co.uk.
If I can pick you up on a particular point there, Mark, and you described Instagram as for you being like a scrapbook. And so does that mean that, do you see Twitter as being what you would consider as your main social channel, or where you tend to share your more polished work or case studies rather than what you describe as your scrapbook of Instagram?
Yeah, sometimes you'll see like the odd snippet where I've work in progress, but I try to keep my Instagram as like a full scrapbook. So when I found, when clients and brands see your work, they'll scroll through and then say, oh, I like this piece you've done way back.
Brilliant.
And that.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's why it's like I don't want to do a polished sort of Instagram where some people post three, so it's got a nice, it looks really clean and nice style. But, yeah, try and give it a good scrapbook feel. So, yeah, I'm open to a lot of opportunities.
And so it actually works itself as a portfolio.
Yeah, in a way.
You know, is simply always there and has a pagination you can always be adding to. Yeah, okay. No, I get your point of view. It's interesting. When you just described it then, I use it for the same way, but I would describe it in a slightly different way. But that's just choice of words. But you both using it, that's our own individual eyes looking at the same thing with our own approach. Okay, man. All right, I get you.
And then you get like, just when you see clients have messaged you and they always say like, oh, I've seen like the LAFC work I recently did. I did a project. Dave Will set up the Premier League stickers.
Yes.
And it was for a food charity in Liverpool. And they said, oh, would you be interested in doing this project for LAFC? And I was like, oh, what illustrations you need? And they were like, have you ever done something that's like fun, creative? You've got a few players involved in a scene. And I was like, just got the job. I did a Bournemouth one for Dave Will and his stickers. And they were like, that's a perfect match. That's the sort of thing we're looking for. Okay. So they could pass it on to, because it was in collaboration with Delta. And they sent it over to them. And they were like, yeah, that's bang on what we're looking for, but LAFC and it yeah. needs a plane in there and stuff. So, yeah, cool.
What I would suggest people do is I would say if they go to Dave Will's website to check out the Premier League stickers project as a whole and see all of the artists that were involved in that. And it's good of you to bring up the LAFC work. And if we can take a wee bit of a dive on that right now, I have just an enormous soft spot for LA. And when I saw you were doing work with LAFC, I was super pumped for it. And there is, am I right in thinking there is also work that you've done with someone else that is installed yeah. in LA? Brilliant. What is there a particular vibe you've got for LA and Los Angeles? How has this all come about? Because that all sounds super dreamy to me.
Oh no, I've been to LA and I loved it, but that was like a totally separate thing to this project, because like when I started off freelance in June, I was just looking at like the reaching out to all the top clubs, the brands that I really okay. wanted to work with. And LAFC.
And sorry, that was June 2021.
Last year.
Right.
And I've always like they've caught my eye, LAFC over there. Yeah, you've got Galaxy, but LAFC, like exactly. I don't know, they've got something about them.
Yeah, yeah. I will definitely admit I am a real, if a brand has my vibe, then I am open to being swayed but to brand communications. I will be definitely honest in that. But also, I mean, it's clearly evident the community that LAFC are speaking to, that actually is and a little bit of an insight here, when I am on and I'm already thinking ahead, and I was this afternoon to tomorrow morning's game of five aside, but these are the kind of things I'll do when I've got moments to myself in my goalkeeping head. I like to start thinking about alternate universes, and then I start to think, oh, that would actually be a really, that would be a great book for me to read, and I would at least enjoy it myself. Right, what about the slightly alternate universe where, you know what, Mark Johnson, where you happen to be you, but you grew up in LA, and actually, you know what, your generation, the footballer that you were in this world, in this alternate universe in LA, you might actually have been such a more standout player there, you kind of got picked up by a club earlier, and you never know how that slightly alternate universe you could have developed. And then I think if I was in an alternate universe, having grown up in LA, that is the footballing community I would have loved to have gone and had a bite to eat somewhere that is showing games from the Mexican League and from South America, you know, most definitely. Sorry, I really went off on one there, but I'm back up in Glasgow, right, or just south of Glasgow, and this week, and back playing football again after a short break. It's gotten me into that energy and into that vibe.
Yeah,
right,
but
now,
like the energy over in like South America with the football shirts and
yeah,
the fans and everything, it's just like another level. So yeah.
Yeah. I tell you what, I have a real definite memory of this, that when United won the treble in 99, and then when United played in
Vasco.
Yes. Yeah. And it was in Brazil. If American my memory Earth, serves yeah. me correctly, yes. And Vasco da Gama, that's such an amazing name. And I have a real fondness, Kappa did, and I think maybe a couple of separate occasions, Kappa have worked with the club to produce their kits, and they're really beautiful. But I remember that Vasco da Gama team tearing through that United team and playing football somehow in a manner that I had never seen before. And I mean, obviously there was many ways to play football that I hadn't seen and haven't seen, but that was particularly in a way that was like, how are you just playing right past the best football team that I had ever seen? You're so much better. And Edmundo was playing for that team.
That's the one. Yeah, I was trying to think. Yeah. Bex got sent off as well, didn't he?
That's true. Yeah, and yeah. I remember the texture, and that's the best term I can think of it. But the texture, the footage that we were seeing, obviously there was the it wasn't a digital, without knowing the technical terms of it, I'm sure it wasn't a digital feed then that we get now. And so, you know, the technology of the cameras that we were seeing, the pictures of, just gave you that kind of humid texture and vibe to the visuals you were seeing anyway. And so everything had that sprinkle of from another land to it, you know, and especially that sun tinged of another land, which with my Greek blood especially is all like, you know, I always think of the grass. Oh, okay, the grass is actually greener because things are just different over there, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, man. And so, yes, we got off on going away somewhere quite off-piste there. And so let's get it back to you and working with real great front of portfolio level clients in LA. Yeah, give us an insight to those, Mark, please.
Yeah, so how it all come about is, I'm a bit of a pest on like Instagram and you like LinkedIn, because I want to work with the big guns.
Oh, good, so for you, making it happen.
So that's what you got to do. Yeah. So like I always search out for like the art directors and the people that work in with the club, so you can get your work shown, so it misses the social media guys, but gets to the ones who really need them projects. Yeah. So did that originally, and then sent out a few emails to different people, and then never heard anything of it. And then about a month later, Jeff, the director over there, the art director, he got in touch and said, like, oh, Mark, I've been following you for a while. Would you be up for a project? And yeah, it was mental because of the time difference. And
yeah,
like when I had a meeting at like 10:30 at night with Delta and LAFC and just to pitch the project and how it was going to come together. It's just it's mad. So yeah, from going from a 9-to-5 job and
And can you excuse me, could you give people an insight to who it was at either the design agency who was your direct client, and who it was, if anyone at the club, or at least what departments it was or is at the club that you work with, if you could give people just an insight to the other side of the work, the side that is behind the great visuals that you see right at the end.
Yeah, so basically Jeff, the creative director at LAFC and the design team, I worked with him directly.
If I can just interject, God bless that man, and I wish him a long and successful career there. What I will say is that in saying the term or the title creative director at LAFC, you have given me so much mental distraction time. I am going to think so many times of how much I am in another universe creative director at LAFC. I think you've just opened my eyes in a way that I never thought possible. That is a sensational thing that actually exists. I would love that so much.
Yeah, so basically he got in touch and the brief was you've got to get 4 LAFC players in each illustration, and it was all about the away days. So each away game you'd get a place. So say they went to Texas, you've got to pick out some iconic tourist attraction and then include 4 players, but you must have a Delta plane in there somewhere because it was in collaboration with Delta. Okay. So that was the challenge. Every had 11 to do, and it spaced out up over about 4 months, I think it was. So yeah.
And did they tell you which players specifically, or did they give you space to make those decisions at your end? And then once you'd presented that, they came back with, "Oh, brilliant, but could we maybe have X instead of Y?"
Yeah, because at the start, they did give me a list of like 4 or 5 players to include. Okay. And then as the time went on, I got more interested in LAFC. So I kept watching and the results. So then I was like, oh, he's the most iconic player. I need to get him in and try and get a bit of a variety, but not repeating the same players. It's hard, but like Carlos Vela is their top player. So, and for the, like, when it gets posted, he's going to get most interaction. So he's probably an ideal player to keep in there. So yeah, basically what I had to do was come up with a rough sketch of, say it was, they're going to LA Galaxy this game, what you're going to do for it. So most iconic thing would be the airport with the big LAX lettering. So then I thought, oh, well, could get a few players, some sitting on the letters, some taking selfies and have a plane going over the top. So yeah, just like scribble a rough drawing of how I would want it to look, fire it back over to them. They'd pass it on to Delta, both agree on it, then fire it me back, say, could we have this player in if I picked a different player or whatever. So yeah, that's how it, each week, that how it worked.
Okay, brilliant. Were you sent, of course, this is a silly question that I would ask, were you sent anything LAFC related as just a, hey, here you go, here's an LAFC shirt, just as a great to work together?
No. But to be fair to him, he said, like, should have another project lined up this year. So, yeah. But I wouldn't mind that latest shirt that's just come out, though.
I know. Well, please tell me if I am wrong. So on this date today, because believe me, I spent 2 evenings very deeply looking for this online, but I believe I saw a date that is, I think it might be the 20 something of March when it is actually available on the shelves. And this is a guess from me that maybe because there are so many new MLS, what would be what 22, 23 season kits dropping right now, maybe they are releasing them in retail in drops and batches. But yes, I don't. I mean, please, you might have just corrected me, and that would be great. Or you might have just wound me up and teased me by the fact that they're not actually available.
But I'm not too sure, to be honest. Because
either way, they are. It's a great shout you make, because it is a genuinely. I honestly think for me that will straight away, I would say that is top 10 for me, because I have a big I shouldn't go off on one too much, but I am going again early next year, and so I'm just in a big LA vibe right now. And when I saw, I mean, it's a really nice kit, the colour palette of the club, and even the badge. I like it heroing the architecture of the city, and that culturally there's a design influence there from the city that the club has nodded at that appeals to me for sure.
Yeah, because you're fine with Adidas, like over here, Arsenal are sort of their top brand. Because I'm not even an Arsenal fan, but so much of their merchandise is so good, like some of the retro gear, and it's just how they market it is all.
Yeah,
like,
can I ask you, as someone who isn't an Arsenal fan like myself, I can honestly say that through all of my lifetime, if I was to pick out one club right across the world who are the most well, and I know Adidas haven't always made Arsenal's kits, but whoever have made Arsenal's kits have consistently made them very well dressed. They have been a very well dressed football club. There was a few years under Puma, but then I'm not a Puma guy. I respect them, but you can't connect with everything, you know.
No.
So there's a few years of Puma, but I don't really count them because they slip out of my head. But it's interesting you bring up Arsenal, because especially the Adidas years, and I think, and I was thinking this earlier today, funnily enough, that, well, actually, can I ask you, what do you think of Adidas's run with United at the minute? Because I think Adidas and Arsenal is a perfect fit, but I've felt very flat about what we've had from Adidas and United. Even when Adidas have tried to do the, hey, look, we have a knowledge here of the history of Manchester United and kits from the past, and this is what it looks like when we do something like that now. I respect that, but I mean, maybe it's because I really like Arsenal and Adidas right now, as you bring up, but I think at the same time, Adidas and United haven't quite hit the mark for me as yet.
Yeah, and I don't know though, because like probably in about 10 years' time, you might think, oh yeah, those kits are the bang on, but I don't know. Yeah. It's just at the minute, Arsenal and Adidas are just they're a snug fit. They, like everything they do,
that's can't, true.
Like pull any faults. You just think, yeah, they've done a really good job. That even on like the marketing campaign with Ramsdale recently in the Chippy,
yes,
and stuff like that. And it's just like so clever that they picked up on it. But yeah, Man U, I don't know.
if I may just rewind on myself at one moment, I should actually say that last year's third kit, the white with the black, the black broken pattern, that is a genuine all time great for me. I love that, and it's the only new United shirt that I've bought for myself, and that I would buy for myself, because I don't want to think where that money could be going when it comes to United these days. But if there is anybody that's ever listening to one of these that has any connection to anybody involved in that, it is a genuinely amazing kit. And you even made the Chevrolet sponsor logo and the shiny metal gradient on that not hurt my eyes. And that was a definite a gift on that.
I think that as well, to be fair, that like the sponsor ruins, well, the previous Man U shirts. I know, yep. It's a lot better now, it's a lot cleaner, but yeah, I think that didn't help it in the past. So.
That's true. That is very true. But listen, that's only my perspective. I'm not saying I'm right. I am just saying that is my answer to that question. Yeah. But doesn't mean I am any less. Well, actually, it doesn't mean I am any more right than anyone else. That's very true. Mm-hmm. And so talking about kit, let us actually, before we go down this route, because I know this will be an avenue we'll go down far, let's talk about life as a self-employed creative, if we can, Mark. So when we last spoke to you, you were working for Umbro, I believe. Yeah. And you are now a self-employed individual. Can you give us a little bit of an idea as to how that's got? So it was last summer-ish?
I've been about 7, coming on 8 months now, I think it is. So yeah, okay. Time flies.
Yeah.
It does, yeah. So, yeah. But no, I started out in June-ish time. And
okay.
I thought I'd take the leap. When I've been working in the past, through all my jobs, like I've done bits and pieces on freelancing, but I felt like because I was in one place with a full-time job, you didn't have that freedom that I know you could attract other brands, clients, yes, and stuff. So yeah, I thought, right, I built up a good following, I should have a good enough connections, let's go for it. So yeah, so basically I reached out to Dave Flanagan, Dan Layden, and John Sheehan. I hope it's right surname.
Oh, John Sheehan.
Yeah, that's the yes one. Yeah, yeah. So I reached out to them guys, had a chat with them, and they were giving us a few pointers, the do's, the don'ts. And so I had some idea like before I went into it. So yeah, so basically through the furlough period when I was at Umbro, I was putting some money away. So then you've got that, oh, what if I've got no work for like a month or so, and you're thinking, okay, I need to pay bills. So yeah, so basically.
Sorry to jump in. Can I ask a question
Sure.
As to whether, had you ever been told, or had you heard at your end, or did you ever have an idea as to when you went from going from being full-time employed to being self-employed? Did you ever have an idea as to I should have X amount of months' wages essentially in the bank as a safety net? Because I had always been told a general idea, and it's just interesting to hear if other people that had grown up in other places and gone through a different route in their own journey, whether they've been told any different.
No, I just saved up a certain amount. I didn't really have a proper plan, like it's got to be 1 month, 2 month, 3 month. Yeah. I just thought I'll set this money aside and see where it takes us, because at the end of the day, I'd do anything for another job.
Right, like, yeah.
Even if it was working in a shop or anything, I don't mind. I'm one of them people, so it's not.
Well, I didn't. I ask because there may be someone there may be someone who has recently made that move or is thinking of it now. And I did ask that question my dad was, so he was an accountant, and then he worked his way up from there in what he did, and I have very much always had he was an accountant from Yorkshire, so he had the combination as being a tight Yorkshireman and an accountant type. And I can say my approach to money has always been quite different to what my dad's always was. So listen, I ask that as look, I'm not saying I followed a spreadsheet to the letter with my plan for making that move, but I had always been told to have an idea that if there was zero, and literally zero money coming in for 3 months, would you be able to cover your bills? Mm. And if me saying that is just a wee nudge to anyone just going and reading what is actually accurate or what is right for them, you know, everyone's path is different. But that that was what I kind of had in my head.
Yeah, I'd say that's a decent amount.
Bill, sorry, I interrupted there because you brought up a really good point I just wanted to pull up on.
No, it's cool. So, they basically, because originally, like, it's the big question in design is how much to charge for a job and how much is that illustration costing? And that was always the one thing on my mind was, well, how much for this? How much for that? So technically, I've got a set day rate, but then other clients have budgets. And if they say, oh, can you do this illustration for £300, £500, £800, whatever it is.
Yes.
I've done a good amount of jobs in these 6 to 8 months. And I've got an idea now where before I went into it, not blind, but I had a slight inkling of what you're meant to be charging. So, that's always a people message you and say, well, how much do you charge? And all depends on your budget.
Exactly. Yes. And then you have that little dalliance, that little dance. Okay. Another wee point, usage fees do not, if anyone isn't, or whenever anybody asks me about usage fees and what should I be charging, I do always point people in the direction of the AOI. And there is a lot of really good legal and fee-based information with them. But just a wee note on that. So illustrators and creatives are aware of usage fees and that you are due what you are due, both because of your time and also the usage rights to use the content that you create.
Definitely.
Sorry to jump in.
That's
by the way. I hope I didn't get too serious there. Just let's lighten the mood again.
So going back, so I reached out to those guys and they gave me a few tips, and then basically I thought, right, make a big list of all the contacts they know, the contacts they want to work with. Mm-hmm. I put a little portfolio together, just five of a variety of pieces, and then fired it all out, jotted down in a little notebook when I sent them and everything. And then now it was like, to start with, I had the LFC big one coming quite soon after I started. So that was really nice. It was a big starter. But since Christmas, now they've like sort of had meetings or whatever they've been doing in their studios, and the emails are coming in now nicely. So work's ticking over.
And as you find in the professional world, as with any professional world, they have worked with you, they've gotten to know you're a good guy. Clearly you hit their deadlines, you produce really good creative work, and so you have a relationship there. And as with everything that is positive, it's based on a relationship,
and it's just mad though, like when I first started out, and I think my first ever illustration was for BBC Match of the Day magazine. It was like double page spread, Arsenal Chelsea FA Cup. And I was absolutely buzzing because I saw it in WH Smith's once.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then now it's like, oh, you did an illustration for LAFC, you did one for England. And you just think, wow. But you don't really think about how far you've come. It's so strange in a way. You're just like, oh, it's got another piece in the portfolio. Yeah. And then it's like, I've done all this recently. But
that's where it's, if you can look at other people's brilliant work and appreciate theirs enormously, but you never do that with yourself. And yet, you were to see your work in someone else's portfolio, you would think, oh, that is really fantastic. And you know what? It's right. And as anybody in doing anything can just keep keep going round the circle of the day. Take a deep breath, just step away from that. I know I say this as someone that doesn't have little kids running around them that will always be requiring their constant attention. Yeah. You're right. It's a really important thing for especially people producing creative content, that they can step back and look at, and really it's really the one endeavor that you should be taking a step back from and appreciating yourself, you know. And also, let's not forget, if anyone's going to sell your work for you, well, sorry, no one's going to sell your work for you if you can't sell it yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there is that, but no, it's a good point. It's a good point you bring up.
Yeah, because you're just like, I don't know, you do the one piece and you've achieved that, but then you're still chasing the next goal and keep getting better, 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 and better. So that's what I've got. I just get like a sort of a bug where I need to improve. It's like with the 3D stuff, but I start on a small scale and then I'm thinking, right, it's got to go bigger. And then just keep building. So yeah.
Well, let's get back to talking 3D and a specific case study that would be great to talk about is your Inter 97 shirt, which is, I mean, 97 to 99 is my favorite football period for everything. And that Inter shirt itself. And I remember, I am adamant that I remember a particular spread in Football Italia magazine from that summer that had a whole feature on the player turnover that year. And there was a big spread on the players that were coming in to Inter. And I think they then had a spread of the players going out, or maybe it was one spread with the two combined, you know. I remember Benoit Costil. I've got his surname incorrectly, but there was a French player. His name was Benoit, and his name began with a C. I'm not going to look it up on Google on the screen in front of me right now, because it's too easy to do that. Benoit Coe. There we go. Okay. I remember him, and that was when I discovered the reason why Inter are called Internazionale, and why there was always so much of an exotic nature to the mix of cultures that played for the team. And that Inter 97 case study I saw of yours, actually on Twitter as well. Because you know what, in recent times, I've started using Twitter more and more for work that I didn't so much in the past. So can you give us a bit of a story behind that, please?
So it all started with the start of the first lockdown, and I did a small Campos goalkeeper 3D project. And then it moved on to a cardboard football, because I had some IKEA cardboard. And I was like, I'm not taking it the tip. I'm going to make something out of it.
Sorry to just jump in, but people, all the case studies you're talking about, people can see them online at your main site. That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Brilliant.
So I'd wanted to do Umbro legs. I worked for Umbro in that time when we were sitting at home and everyone wasn't doing anything, just binging Netflix. Thought, right, let's get to work on something creative. So yeah, I come up with this Speciale Sustainable, and it was all out of cardboard. So went to that scale, and then I moved it on, and I was like, right, Brazil shirt 94, let's make that out of string and nails and do some string art. So yeah, that built up, and that was 2,200 nails and then 500 meters of cotton. So that was that one. And that got a lot of traction on social channels. And I was like, right. So you see all these Americans doing all these massive projects, and you see them on Hypebeast and they're in these museums. And I was like, need to get to that scale. So so that's how it all come about. And I was like, but what shirt can I pick and how could I relate them together? So it was like, I thought, oh, so like, cut, is it called? Not origami, but it's paper. I call it twirling, I do, but I'm not sure the technical term. But can't remember what
this
the name
is my called. Simplified term, but like card engineering.
So basically, I'd seen a lot of people had done that sort of work, but not in the same style. So I was going for really tight coils, but I was thinking the intercrest, it's got different rings and then it creates the letter inside it. So it's like that would work really well together. It's basically the crest. So, yeah, so I built it up and I thought, because if you undo a coil of paper, it's a strip. So Inter Milan, black and blue stripes. So there was a nice little combination coming together. Uh-huh. And then I was like, what scale could I go to? So like pretty much got the foam, a big foam board, and it got delivered outside. It literally filled the drive. It was that big.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, yeah. It got delivered on this massive van well early in the morning. I was like, oh,
Where did you, did it take a long?
Oh, it took months.
Did it take a long time for you to find that online?
Yeah, I reached out on LinkedIn and a guy at a printing company was like, oh, I can get hold of some of this foam because I needed it to bend slightly to get it through the front door.
So, wow, okay. Yeah. That must be, you must have done that well because to do that and not have any kind of a crease or to at least be trying to not have or to have as minimal crease because what you might be doing will be able to mask it, but even just attempting to keep that down is a well done job.
Yeah, so basically started putting it together in different sections and it, like the size of the board was 1.7 meters by 2 meters. Lugged it up the stairs and got it in, put it up, down. And I was doing all these twirling, different paper coils, and I was doing little sections. So started with the crest and then I was working out how the collar come in and then it built up from there. But yeah, it was months of work that was. And then when it all come together, pulled it down, put it on the kitchen because I was going to glue it all together. So I got one of those, the glue guns, and I put the glue down and it was just off. So I had tear part of a sleeve off and like do another 60 coils. So yeah, it didn't all go to plan. I was up for chucking out the window and everything. It's like,
do you know how many coils in total there were?
There's around 23,000.
Okay.
Because I did like times the top by the side and then added a bit extra. So yeah, it's a give or take about 23,000.
And do you plan ahead with how much material you're realistically going to need, or do you plan for, well, I know I'm just going to need, if I order this amount, I'll either use all of that or I'll use it for later, and if I need to just keep ordering more because I've never done quite this before and so I'm going to need to get more if I need to get more?
Yeah, it was all a learning curve, to be honest. Okay, search Google and I was looking for people that do that sort of, well, supply that sort of paper. And then I reached out to them and asked, I'm going to do this big project. Will you have that amount? I don't know how long it's going to take, but they kept sending me batches and I kept arriving in boxes. I was doing them, then I'd order again. And then at the end, the lady email me and goes, can we see what you've been doing? Because you keep asking for like large amounts of paper.
Wow, okay.
So it was interesting at the end. So yeah, that's how it all comes together.
And just to give our listeners a bit of a background to the background, I am looking at, as I speak to Mark, there is the enormous Inter shirt on display there, and on the left hand side, can you talk us through? There's a framed shirt. Is that Cristiano Brighi? I might be pronouncing that incorrectly. There's a framed shirt you've got on the wall, and I am assuming there was at least some kind of a story behind that.
It's Matteo Brighi. I just double checked it. I know it's Brighi. But yeah, so basically with that, the two shirts that he sent me was two prints for classic football shirts, and they're made up of a player's head with the shirts they've worn throughout their career.
Okay.
So with their big audience, and they were regularly sharing back when I first started, he reached out to me when he saw them and asked, oh, could you do us a piece for myself? So I was like, oh, yeah. Because back in the day, I think it was FIFA 2003, he was meant to be like the next big star.
Yes, if I can. I don't know where I got Cristiano right. from. Sorry, that was
you
my...
You just love Ronaldo too much.
I do love him, yes. I do love him. For some reason, I was thinking there was in my head, there was some kind of AC Milan squad player that went on to manage them for a short period of time was in my head. Obviously, I'm wrong on that. But I think it's actually Matteo Brighi.
Go
on.
No. So he reached out to me, and he played for a lot of clubs. I think it was about 8 clubs. So I did him a personal piece, and he framed it and sent me a photo. And I said, oh, on the off chance, I collect football shirts. You don't have a match worn one going at all, do you?
Yeah.
And he said, oh, yeah, I'll sort you out. And
man.
Yeah, and he fired me over a Roma one and what's it called now? Sassuolo.
Oh, Sassuolo.
That's the one. Yeah, so he sent me them two shirts signed.
Oh, that's nice, man. Good for you.
Top notch. Yeah, but yeah, so it was really cool. So great shirts to add to the collection.
Have you, and you've never worn them yourself?
Oh, no. As soon as I got them, I framed them up ready, so yeah.
Can I ask you, if there was a brand that started to make football kits, or a brand that did once make kits and was to start doing it to get them again, like the brilliant news of Mizuno. Sorry, are the clubs just dropped out of my mind? But that's
is it Lazio coming on?
Yes,
you I think they're linked to it. Yeah, I've seen it on.
Okay. Because I would honestly love to see Air Jordan do more kits. I really would.
I think they do it well with PSG. I don't know what it is. It's just the way they put the shirts together. It's really neat. Yeah.
They have partnered that perfectly. That's true. And having worked for as long as you did at Umbro, one of my Umbro and 90s football kits are so synonymous with me. It's like Umbro and Kappa from the 90s. That's everything, and where it could all just, in the same way that they never needed to make any more Matrix movies after the first one, it's why they never should have done anything Star Wars after. Well, The Empire Strikes Back, really. It's why they never needed to make any more Terminator movies after Terminator 2. They never needed to make any football kits after the 90s and what Kappa and Umbro did, though there is still a heck of a lot of good that is going on.
Kappa and Barcelona, Kappa and Real Betis. Those two.
Yes, that's very true.
Yes.
That's very true. If you were playing tomorrow yourself, and you were to say now which kit that you have yourself that you would wear, what would you wear tomorrow if you were playing?
Kappa Barca.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, definitely. Back in the day when it was Brazilian Ronaldo, Romario,
Well, I'm playing tomorrow morning. Shout out to Power League Townhead in Glasgow. I'm playing there tomorrow morning with the Saturday boys, who I haven't seen since a good few weeks ago. And Stevie Dolan is playing, and we think of him as the Glasgow Messi. I tell you what, fair play to him. He's got a few years on him against everyone else, but he will run just as much as everyone else, you know. Yeah. And I might actually wear my Kappa Barca shirt because you just said that. I might do that and just share it with the world and just let them know that I'm representing for you.
Sounds good.
So looking ahead to what the future might hold. So when you're not actually far away from being a year on.
I know, scary.
Well done to you. There's going a year as a self-employed creative in itself is some achievement. So well done you. And is there anything you've particularly learned enormously about your time so far that helps you think about how things might be going ahead, or are you still very much a case of let's see what tomorrow brings?
Yeah, it's a bit of a go with the flow, and you don't know what's around the corner at the minute. I'd say March is an exciting time for me, but
nice. Okay,
if everything goes to plan, but it's brilliant. Like freelance world, you could say, yeah, I've got this job tomorrow, but then it could get pulled right between your eyes literally, yeah, 10 minutes before. You don't know. It's like there's always that risk there, but it's just the whole journey is just an exciting time when it's your passion. You just go with the flow and keep creating, putting yourself out there.
That last point was exactly one that I was going to pick you up on. So particularly because one thing I think everyone, as well as many other positives about connecting with yourself online, I can see it myself. I can see very clear paths between this piece of personal work or this kind of personal project or collection of work led on to that client work, and which led on to that commercial brief, which led on to that. And I can see that from you, that same energy into your own personal work, you know, and particularly something, and I know I always bring this up when we talk, but the from the pitch to the streets, if you just go and have a look at Mark's work under that title, because there's been so many executions now, that is a collection of work you must give a nice amount of energy to.
Yeah, because right at the start, I thought, right, I'll set out, do about 5 or 6. When you've got an idea and you see it fits and you're like, yeah, I'm happy with that. I know it's going to do well. Not like you're going to be big-headed or anything. You could see that the two come together, and if you put it out there, it should do well. And yeah, so then I thought, right, we'll do the first 6, and then Copper 90 got hold of it and then it exploded. And then so I was like, right, I need to do some more. So it's never ending, because there's always football on, there's always opportunities for iconic moments. So yeah, it's just like following the journey, it's going along, and then it's just random thoughts of where could it go next. And then I was thinking, right, you've got the guys on Twitter, he does the urban goals.
Okay,
and it's like pictures of goals everywhere. And I was like, well, if I took 2 posts outside, I don't know, a post office or something, that could be a goal, but we could make it urban goalkeepers and then put iconic keepers in the between the sticks. And so, yeah, it's just like snowballed on and on and on. And then like recently I did a messy one, hanging his shirt up on a washing line, and 433 got hold of that. And that just went absolutely nuts. I've never seen it hit so many different places, got tagged in so many posts, and yeah, even made a BBC Parisian on on Instagram. It's not even a story, but somehow they made one of it, and it's just like, yeah. What? So yeah, it's just...
and on those, can I ask you, is it a mix of seeing either a location that would work, or sometimes you see a celebration or a goal or a moment that can work? Because there's almost two sides to the execution. Well, yeah, there's two sides to the concept that come together to form the execution, you know?
Yeah, so like...
Sorry, go on.
So basically, I originally had a list of all the different ones I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And then if I came across the right photo, then and they fit nicely, then I'd put them together. But I'd spend so much time looking through free image sites just to see if anything pops out, and I'm like, oh yeah, that could work for that, that could work for that. So yeah, like, and some things just naturally come together, like the Gaza Euro 96 one.
Yeah,
I was just looking at fountains, as you do, and then there was a shot in London, I think it was, and there was a lion's head with the water coming out, and I was like, free lions, Gaza, nicely does it. So yeah, it's just...
And far be it from me to you know, give anyone input, but I would love, and I would genuinely love to see them animated. I really would. And you know what, to then see them. And there's a particular international tour. It might even actually be France 98 that I'm thinking of, but the IT, and for some reason, and it's ITV is coming into mind with whose idents it's making me think of. Can you imagine from the pitches to the streets being executed as idents for a broadcaster's presentation of a tournament, you know, even particularly as the last Euros, I don't think there's any plans for it to be spread across different nations, but even as it's spread across cities in a country, you know, you could really see how there'd be a natural fit with different locations shot in the real world, mixed with
it could literally go anywhere.
Your illustrations,
yeah. Oh no, I can't really say what could happen, because it's like mad how it started off as just a couple of illustrations, and now it just keeps growing and growing and growing and growing, and where it appears. So yeah, tomorrow someone could have a tattoo of it on the leg. For all I know, it's just one of them.
Well,
things,
is that why it's just out there?
You just don't know what's going on. So yeah.
Well, I do have a consultation on Tuesday next week for my first ink since New Zealand, actually, which was...
What are you going for?
Some time ago. So there, it's this one is all about a trip across Canada I took with my mum the summer after Dad passed. And he had wanted to take mum for a few years, but he couldn't because physically he wouldn't have been able to have travelled that much. So we went the following summer, and I found a tattoo artist in Glasgow called Jamie Allen. He's super talented. So shout out to him. There are two. I bought two. I met a native Inuit artist, and I have two canvas illustrations, paintings, whatever you want to call it, from him. And it's essentially asking Jamie to do his interpretation of them. In a spot that I've not had them done before, and so that'll be an experience. That is pretty much as I can say for now. top of my chest is where they're going to get. So top of my chest, kind of base of my neck ish. But so if you think of, I don't know why I've got my hands here. No one can see, well, Mark can see this.
Yeah.
But where my kind of the bones are, those bones that are just at the base of your neck that go at an angular way up to your shoulders. I should know that, shouldn't I? That's poor education from me. That, so just below them. That's it, my friend. Nice. Yeah. Yeah. So that's exciting.
Yeah, it's gonna hurt.
Yeah, I've actually just thought maybe that means I can't play next Wednesday. Maybe. But actually, I do need to find out if I'm actually having any ink done because it's a consultation.
Okay.
So it might not actually be happening on Tuesday. I shouldn't assume that. Either way, I'll need to find out because you can't back out of games once you've said you're in. Most definitely not.
You can't. Definitely not. Especially if you're a keeper.
Yes, very true. And if I may say, being a goalkeeper at 5 or 7 aside, it is a full-time endeavour. It isn't something for anybody to do part-time because you want a breather. I accept that and chapeau to you and whatever your approach is, but you need to go and play for the other side. You will not stand between my posts because you need a breather. Most definitely not. That's very true. That's very true. I'll stick to that. So Mark, before I go off further on that, can you remind people where they can see your work online?
Yeah, sure. Twitter, Mark Johnson _, Instagram, Mark Johnson Design, and my website is markjohnson.co.uk.
Brilliant. That's excellent. Oh, and just a wee question before we go. When you went to LA yourself, where did you stay? Because it's you really need to stay in the right kind of area because it's so spread out. That's correct.
Yeah, it was in the downtown section.
Right. Okay.
So we're only like not too far away from the stars on the pavement. What's it called? Hollywood Stars.
Okay.
And then and about 10-15 away from the Hollywood Hills. So yeah, it was cool. It's well spaced out, but it was in a good place, like near Melrose Avenue, where all the really good art on the walls and graffiti. So yeah,
great.
It's cool.
Happy days, man. Cool. You know what? I'm gonna go and indulge. I might go watch some Mayans MC this evening. Just get back into some Cali vibes to start the weekend ahead.
And a bit of Venice Beach as well. That's cool.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's real nice. Get a chopper bike and just cruise down the beach.
Oh, happy days. Yeah, and all of a sudden I look around and see your work decorating some kind of retail. Sorry, yeah, and I've just reminded me, there's a retail space within LA that you have work on display.
So you've got Disneyland. And there's a shopping outlet just like attached to it. It's like Disney Springs sort of thing. And there's Palais Soccer, who I did the piece for. Yeah, I did a big, it was about 14 foot by 4 foot. It was around that size. Wow. So yeah, it's in the shop. So yeah, if you're ever over there, check it out.
Oh, fantastic. Well, it's a good thing I asked because I'm not sure if the Disney area is something I would find myself in. So I'm glad.
You can go to the shops. You don't have to have a ticket to go in there because it's not into the theme park.
Okay. Yeah, I got you. So I understand. Cool. And that space, what size was that? Sorry, you said 14?
Yeah, it's about 14 foot by 4 foot or something like that.
Okay.
It was big. Biggest piece I've done so far. So, yeah.
Right.
It's mad.
Okay. Wow. Fantastic. Well, brilliant, Mark. Thank you very much for your time today. And
yeah, no worries.
Once again, I recommend everybody to be following Mark on said channels earlier. Brilliant. Cool. Thank you very much.
No worries. Thanks, Henry.
Many thanks for joining us today on The Lob, a These Football Times production. For more of our content, check out our award-winning print magazine featuring some of the game's foremost writers, artists, and photographers, exploring areas of the game rarely covered in high-end print. For now, we look forward to you joining us again soon.